Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Freaky Friday. I'm Jacob Pasterfield, and I'm sitting here at Frequency Winery in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, down here in the beautiful Okanagan Valley and at this fun little winery where we use music to make our wine. And so this is the second installation of my podcast series here, and my last episode was about the throat chakra. And I enjoyed it so much, I'm going to do another one. So this one is going to be part two of the throat chakra series here. And I think before I kind of go deeper into these concepts, I kind of want to give a little bit more information about kind of how this all works and how the chakras work and how your energy field works and why all of these topics are worth discussing. So, right into it, everything is a facet of vibration. So all energy is energy plus movement creates a vibration and or an oscillation. And those different kinds of vibration is how literally everything is derived from. Slower vibrations being physical mass and things, you know, the ground itself and minerals and parts of our body are lower vibrational pieces of matter, and we get up into higher vibrational things where we get into light and we get into scent and we get into ultraviolet and infrared rays and the huge crazy spectrum of everything in between. And so a lot of that I'm gonna leave for another day because there's just far too much to talk about in these little half hour or so segments that I'm doing. So as a sound healer, we mainly deal in vibration. And so what we do is we use sound to match certain kinds of vibrations and interact with those vibrations in different ways. And so your body is this whole giant field of all of this energy, all of this, you know, electricity, thermal energy, kinetic energy, physiological energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our emotions have energy to them as well. And so what I do is I'll choose specific sounds to work with different clients in different ways, depending on what would be best for the scenario. And so in sound healing, we kind of look at it in two major groups. And so the first side, I kind of call it like the holistic sound healing side, where we try and encourage parts of the body to return to their natural states of harmony so that they can function in their system better. And the other side, it's kind of I call it destructive resonance, but I don't like that term. I think I'm going to start calling it sympathetic resonance. And I kind of call that like the wine glass approach. And so if you've ever seen a video of an opera singer breaking a wine glass with their voice, it's a really cool concept. And it's something that we use medically in the same way to galvanize kidney stones. So the way that it works is all of the atoms that make that wine glass, they have their nucleus, and then all of the moving parts that create the matter orbit and oscillate around that nucleus, around that center. And when we create the same frequency that those cells are resonating in, it triggers a sympathetic resonance. And so what happens is those cells will release that frequency that they are created from. And so what the opera singers do is with their voice, they match the pitch or they match the tone that that frequency or that vibration is in. And when they hit that, all of those moving parts, those atoms and molecules as they're orbiting around, that orbit is creating kinetic energy. And that kinetic energy gets stored within these cells themselves. So when we create that frequency, it has a sympathetic resonance and it releases that frequency. So the opera singers just oscillate in pitch up and down. And every time they hit that exact frequency, that kinetic energy gets released. And so they go up and then they go back to the note and they hit it. And they go down, they go back to the note and they hit it up and hit it and down and hit it and so on and so forth. And eventually the energy that's released is so strong, the actual atoms and molecules themselves can't hold their form anymore and they dissipate. So that's what creates the shattering of the wine glass. And then even, as I mentioned, in hospitals, we galvanize kidney stones by blasting ultrasonic sound waves at the kidney stones. And because they're the same resonant frequency of those kidney stones, it shakes those kidney stones up so much that they begin to lose their form and your body can remove of them naturally. So those are the two ways in which we can look at all of these energetic blockages that we carry throughout our lives and within our specific chakras that are responsible for interacting with the those energies that they kind of preside over. So all of your chakras, again, I'm going to go much, much more into detail about this, but I just kind of want to give you guys a little overview here. But your chakras, we have 7 major ones. We also have 12, we also have 22, and a lot of, in the East, a lot of the Vedics believe we have 108. So there are a lot of different models you can use to kind of look at chakras, but I really like the concept of 7 because 7 as a number is something that just keeps coming back. 7 days of the week, 7 major planets, 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 notes in the major scale, and 7 chakras, or even if you want to just very unromantically and scientifically look at them, I call it our body's bioelectromagnetic focal points. So they're just these little kind of places where the energy comes in and out of. And in the same way, I use this metaphor to kind of explain how it works, and I call it the steak doneness temperature. So when you cook a steak, a medium steak exists between a certain temperature and a certain temperature. There's a bottom, there's a floor and a ceiling to the temperature of a medium steak. And if the temperature is anything above that, it becomes medium well. And if it's anything below that, it becomes medium rare. And we can kind of look at color, we can look at light, and we can look at our chakras in the same way. For light, all of the vibrations that happen between a certain amount of angstroms and a higher amount of angstroms will be, let's say, the color green. And anything below that little steak temperature becomes yellow and then orange and red, and we go higher into blue, indigo, and violet. And so that's essentially how it kind of works. All of our chakras, they deal with the energies that are between a specific floor of vibration and ceiling of vibration. And your body, as it's interacting with all of the energies around and within it, your chakras are kind of the points where your body will digest and interact with those energies. So there are some very important key components, and one of the main ones is resonance. And so resonance is where we can match a specific frequency with the same frequency. And in doing so, we create a resonant field where the effects of those vibrations are stronger. So harmony is another good way to look at resonance. I mean, then we get into dissonance and things like that, and it gets a little muddy, but resonance is kind of the idea, and resonance is what will happen when something is within its natural state of vibration. So another very important concept is the concept of entrainment. And entrainment is a law of physics where strong vibrations or rhythms will encourage other vibrations to match them. So that's kind of the way that like a second works. A second isn't just an arbitrary measurement. It has to do with the speed that the Earth spins on its axis. And because that rhythm is so ingrained into life on this planet, the timing of a second is something we're used to. And that's how clocks can kind of synchronize to the same second if you have a whole bunch of different clocks in the same room. That used to blow my mind. I used to think they had a dude who would have to go and make sure that he was waiting and then just release the second hand at the right time so that it would line up, but it's just a natural facet. And so entrainment is something that we aim for. A lot of the time when we're doing yoga classes, when we're singing in a group, when we're having breathing exercises, we fall into these states of entrainment. And so that's a synchronization. And music is a really wonderful way to achieve this because music encourages your heartbeats and your brain waves to synchronize to the rhythms that are apparent within these songs or into these musical pieces that we're listening to. So the entrainment is really kind of the magic or key component of how all of this kind of puts together. And that's one of the reasons why mantra becomes so powerful, because when you're repeating these mantras or these statements, that repetition becomes very strong. The consistency in which we're creating and delivering these vibrations is so effective at interacting with all of these different vibrations that the strongest ones will encourage the ones that aren't as strong to rise up or lower to emulate to this specific frequency. And so that's where I think the throat chakra becomes very important. because the throat chakra is the conduit for how all of these patterns and these rhythms that are existing in our lives start to manifest themselves physically. So all of our thoughts and our emotions carry a vibratory quality. And so that's when people say raise your vibration. They're speaking about getting into vibrational states that are very strong and very powerful. And because they're so powerful, it's easier to have a lot of your other emotions come into that. That's why things like gratitude and love and joy and compassion are infectious in a sense, is because they are so powerful that entrainment is really easy to achieve. And once we hit that entrainment, our body starts responding. And so we can change our heart rate and our respiratory speeds, our brain waves, and even down to our consciousness. We can start to articulate our consciousness because we have access to more of the vibrations that our consciousness is expressing itself within. So the emotional vibrations that we're creating and these thought patterns that we create around them, they kind of start to shape things. So we'll have all of these different thoughts that can be from our childhood, from our society, from our personal experience, from our moral compasses and our own standpoints, and these vibrations match them and they're a facet of them. So the certain thoughts that we think, the more we think them, the stronger their vibrational quality becomes, and it becomes even easier for your body to hit entrainment. So that's why it's really important to be mindful of our thoughts, is because the more we allow our thoughts to gravitate towards thoughts and concepts we don't necessarily want, it's easier for our mind to go back to these places. And I kind of like to think about it as, if you think of, again, we're going to deal with metaphors a lot here in these podcasts, so I hope you've got your imagination caps on, but or tinfoil hats work just as well. But these emotional vibrations and the thought patterns, if you think about yourself as a lump of clay or even something more beautiful, let's say you're this beautiful chunk of granite or even marble, and your thoughts, it's like if you are a sculptor, you've got this giant chunk of material and you're going to start working on it. But what you need to do first is you need to kind of articulate the concept and the idea that this piece will turn into. And so your thoughts become the template that you then impose upon this material. And then we use our voice as the chisel and we start chipping away all of the pieces so that its form will begin to take shape. And so when we do this, it becomes really important to be mindful of these thought patterns we carry. And I mean, in our day and age, especially with memes and the internet and our access to all sorts of other people's thought patterns and vibrations, it becomes really easy to slip into these really tiny little negative thought patterns. A friend and I were discussing a couple colloquialisms, like FML is something that's pretty commonly said, and it's used in jest and it's in a kind of cynic and sarcastic mind frame. But in essence, you're saying, fuck my life. And sorry for cursing, but that's a pretty bold statement to say, because, you know, I think most people think that their life is pretty precious and we understand that it's a gift. And it's funny how it's been very socially acceptable to say to F all of that, or even, you know, be in a hot mess. Or I have friends who say, oh, my life is such a mess. Well, it becomes very, very apparent that their life turns into a mess. They're kind of chiseling their life around these thought patterns that then create the actual statements and the words and vibrations we're physically creating. Because before we speak, they're just these vibrations and they're just these thoughts and they're just these emotions. And eventually we harbor them and we bring them down. And now these thoughts exist physically and they can affect not only ourselves, but the people around us. But the thing that becomes really cool is this also gives way for us to move into our own inherent power, the beauty of our voice and the power behind our speech, and the things we say become so much more illuminated when we look at it under this light. You know, instead of saying these things that are, you know, self-harmful in their essence, we can slowly, slowly, slowly begin to change these thought patterns in these landscapes, mental landscapes, into more healthy avenues for our own growth. So we start to speak our truth And truth becomes very important, because our truth, when we speak within our truth and we speak with our authentic voice, we create a resonant field with our throat chakra, because our whole body is tuned to ourselves and our purest, most, you know, healthy, natural state. So when you're speaking your truth and it's coming from your heart, we're creating that resonant field through our throat chakra, and it makes the words we say even more powerful and more impactful. So the truth gives way for more truth to exist, and our honesty paves the way for more honesty to grow through that, and then our authenticity begins to shine forward, and our inner power, our stepping into your light, this all grows through our practice of trying to speak our truth and trying to be as honest and trying to be as mindful with the words that we say, you know. And I think it's really difficult, because life is pretty difficult. You know, we live in an upside down, topsy turvy world where I think it's really easy. You can, you know, spend half an hour on Instagram, and if you're paying attention to the wrong avenues, you can kind of leave feeling pretty drained and pretty frustrated and pretty angry about the state of the world. And because of the lives we've lived and the things that have happened to us, we've developed these bad habits as a facet of our own self-protection. So anytime you've tried to express your truth and someone told you it was stupid, or someone told you you were wrong, you start to kind of shut down within, you know, that speech and within speaking that truth. And at the time, they were necessary. They were necessary to prevent yourself from more pain, from more hurt, from more trauma. And in doing so, we become so ingrained in these habits and these old patterns that were developed as a knee-jerk response to pain and to trauma, and we accidentally adopt them as the norm. And, you know, as our life grows and as we grow and as we work for our own self benefit and to better ourselves and to be a better human being, all of these things become really, really important for us to recognize. So whenever we catch ourselves thinking I'm such a mess, or, oh, I'm so stupid, why did I do that? Or, oh, you won't be able to make that because you are putting yourself out there too far and you're going to fail. Those might have been necessary at some point in time in your life. And they absolutely were, which is why you've adopted them as mentalities. But, you know, it's time to let them go. It's time to allow these prisons of our own design to dissolve. It's time to allow us to free ourselves from all of these things that have been preventing us from living in our heart and living in our power and really embracing the moment, seizing the opportunities that we have around us. You know, how many times have you wanted to start something, but you thought yourself out of it? And the thoughts that you had were probably outdated mental patterns that at a time were necessary, and as you grow, they no longer serve you, but you still, those thoughts still kind of occupy a part of you. So it really becomes very liberating once we can kind of give awareness to how we're doing this to ourselves and to kind of catch ourselves. And every time you catch it, you just get to delete it. You go, oops, that's not what I want to be thinking. Here's what I would like to replace it with. So you replace it with one of those healthier habits. Anytime these self-harm or self-deprecating thoughts come forward, it's totally okay to feel that way, to feel depressed and down. Even my friends and myself, we've had a hard week. You know, probably about 75% of my friends had a depressive slump over the last 4 or 5 days. And, you know, maybe we're moving into winter and it's seasonal affective disorder, or we want to get into astrology and it's the transition of the planets. We got Mercury and Neptune retrograde kind of blowing things all over the place. And whatever it is, it's okay that you feel that way. And it's okay for you to tell yourself that it's okay. It's okay to be a little suicidal and be a little depressed. And we've created this really harmful stigma around anything that isn't positive. But the things that aren't necessarily these higher vibrations that we're aiming for are still occupying our body. And it's really okay that that happens. And all it takes is a little bit of compassion towards yourself and to extend that grace to yourself to just start correcting them. And bit by bit, you know, you get to start by telling yourself the truth. And this is where journaling and even just stream of consciousness speaking becomes really, really powerful, is because you have an opportunity to get a little bit of insight to these truths that you you want to dig into. And you know what I mean? Buried underneath our thoughts and our experience and these mental prisons that we've created is your true authentic self. And all we got to do is we just got to dig a little deeper to find that again. So one of the things that I do often is I explore my voice. I explore the sounds and the tones I can make. And I think it's really daunting because there's this overlying shadow of inadequacy whenever it comes to singing. You know, I think we have this very bad mentality in the West that, you know, it's not okay to sing unless you're an award-winning, you know, Kelly Clarkson singer. But it's really interesting because who said that's the case? Like who are the people in your lives telling you it's not okay for you to sing or that you're a bad singer? Most of the time, it's just you. You've decided it's not okay for you to sing. So when we give ourselves the space and the freedom to sing and to explore that, we get an opportunity to explore a different part of ourselves. You know, it's, I call it sonic yoga. I don't know if some really devout yogis who are listening will be upset with me for calling it that, but that's kind of what I like to describe it as, because as I do this kind of vocal brainstorming where all, when no one else is home, I mean, cause I'm still, even as a sound healer and a singer and a musician, I'm still afraid to sing in front of other people, but I love those moments when it's just me in the house and, I'll get into it. And, you know, you can just kind of start. And if you folks listening are looking for something, you know, a little bit of direction to start, I suggest trying to find the lowest note in your register you can make. I call it your earth voice. So you can use vowel sounds like UH or or oh, as low as you can go, and just try and sit with that, like oh. Try and find the lowest note you can make consistently before you get into that kind of rattling. So oh and om and are very, you know, they're natural sounds we make. And there's a reason why we're creating these sounds, is because they actually relate to the specific chakras that we're trying to interact with. And as you raise the pitch of your voice from the lowest note you can hit to the highest note you can hit, you're going to create kinetic energy movement from the base of your spine all the way to the top. And it's a really fun practice for me. I really enjoy doing it. And so start with the lowest note you can make and explore that and listen. I mean, obviously pay attention to your body and listen to your vocal cords, because you can hurt yourself. But if you just kind of make sure you're supporting yourself with your core and you're breathing fully all the way to the bottom of your stomach, up into the top of your chest, and with power and control, you exert these sounds, these facets of your voice, and you'd be amazed at some of the things that can come out. And then the next place to go is, I always call it your heart voice. And so you put your hand right on your chest, right in your heart center. And then you try and find the tones and the pitches that will vibrate your hand. You'll be able to feel it resonating in your chest. And a good vowel sound for that is I feel like that's one that's a no-brainer. I mean, like, even instinctually, we feel good when comes out. So you want to get into your heart. Start right there. And I mean, I've practiced with this a lot, so I can feel it happening physiologically very quickly. And I can feel the release of emotions. And sometimes when I do this for a while, I'll find the sounds I'm not making very well, and I'll sit with them and I'll try and tone them and I'll try and explore. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like, I like to call it like brainstorming, also vocal brainstorming. You get to make any noise you want, you know, any single noise in the world that you can make, you can do it. Choose a closed out room, sit in a closet and make some weird noises. And then you want to go all the way up to the top. The vowels of E let you get real high. I'm not going to do it too much, but you get right up in there and it becomes very clearing and very activating. So in the same way that I really enjoy yoga, because I'm, you know, doing these bendings and stretchings and asanas that are really difficult for my body. And I get to kind of move into these places and move my body and explore my body in ways I've never done before. And I think it's really fun to just kind of sit within yourself a little bit stronger and feel yourself. And as you do that, you get to kind of grow more fond of your beautiful body, your unique vessel that is this conduit of everything you're ever going to experience in a way that's infinitely different from everyone else. Your voice is exactly the same. It's so different. It's so beautiful and so unique. So this little sonic yoga is a really fun way to kind of start. And then as you go into it, you can find these blockages. You can find the tones that you're not expressing properly. And that's because of these traumatic triggers that have shut down the movement of energy from your pain that we're trying to kind of suppress in a way, you know. But we repress these things so often that they just kind of leak and bleed into the rest of our lives. So when we take this time to kind of explore ourselves and explore our bodies and our mental and emotional and spiritual bodies more, you know, one of the things I'll do is if I'm feeling a specific blockage in a certain area, I'll sit and I'll tone it for a while, and I won't even necessarily make any words. I'll just make the sounds, and I'll just sit there and kind of sit with that problem area. And then afterwards meditate for 10, 15 minutes. And I find that I usually have a lot of clarity into the roots of these problems. And a lot of them are from things so long ago I've forgotten about. But it's really funny. You carry these things with you. And when you forget to forgive yourself for experiencing things you didn't want to experience, or forgive other people for the things they've done, you carry that weight. And it burdens you. It weighs you down. And it's just a really wonderful way to release all of these things. You know, I think our allopathic approach is, you know, if our body is, you know, this symphony of all of these different vibrations and this orchestra of beautiful, you know, molecular sound happening, you know, an allopathic way is like, if the guitar string is out of tune, an allopathic practitioner would say, we're going to get a whole new string. But the holistic approach is, well, how can we tune this string back to its natural functioning order? And so as you're doing these tones through your body, when you're sitting in that truth and everything's coming from your heart, you have an opportunity to create that resonant field from the real harmony that exists within you. And that creates that entrainment again. And when we create that entrainment, suddenly this illusion that we're separate from life and everyone living it starts to dissolve, and we start to feel that connection again. And connection is really, you know, in essence, what a lot of what drives us. We're all seeking those different forms of connection. So this, for me, became a really wonderful way to find that connection within myself and to kind of start working through there. And then through that, you know, I can go and use my community of allopathic healers and naturopathic healers and energy healers and Reiki healers and massage therapists. And you get to blend all of these different modalities that are going to work for you. But it takes a little bit of time to bring your consciousness and your awareness into your own body to find those places that we can start to grow from and learn from. And, you know, and I think it really starts with telling the truth, you know. Telling the truth to yourself and to the people around you. And, you know, I mean, just practice though, like do a little bits, baby steps is to me, the one of the most efficient ways of achieving something is little and often make many. So just do a little bit. I mean, you don't have to start with the hard truths first. Like you don't have to swallow those bitter pills immediately. Like you can work up to those. You don't have to fix yourself completely immediately. Just do a tiny little piece. Let every single victory be that chisel that is forming you into this grand masterpiece that is you and your life. And a very good friend of mine, Carol, and I, she introduced this concept to me, and we call it expressing our micro truths. And when we first started hanging out, we kind of made an agreement to each other to be as honest with each other as we can, and even down to the micro truths, the tiny, tiny little parts of the honesty. I think we have a real tendency as, you know, empaths or people pleasers, we want to say what wants to be heard. But in doing so, we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot because we don't express what we actually need to say. So, you know, practicing expressing these micro truths, say the whole honesty, say the whole bit, even if it seems unnecessary or even if it seems a little much, it becomes a very powerful practice for you to move in to that resonant field through your throat chakra, where we're manifesting, you know, our truest, most authentic selves around us. We're creating these vibrations that literally exist and expand into the universe forever and ever, until they get recycled or whatever. I'm not sure what the infinite does with tiny little vibrations created by humans on a giant floating rock. But I digress. So micro truths and like even these tiny little micro mantras that we can say, these little, oh, my life is a mess. Well, we'll catch them and then we'll turn them into something. You know, I might be a little rough around the edges, but I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm becoming a better human being with each and every step I'm making. Each and every little tap and chisel of this beautiful piece of marble I am creating into my masterpiece. So how wonderful will it be when we learn as a community and as a society to be expressing our truths and to be doing it with compassion from our hearts? You know, that creates a very powerful resonance around us. We can come into coherence with other people. We can start to, you know, dissolve through the separation that we're feeling and come back into that connection. And it's amazing. Once I've noticed personally, the more I am honest and the more I'm authentic and the more I speak those truths, I might have to have a handful of harder conversations, but it helps me really find out who my people are. You know, I think especially for myself, I mean, I've come across a lot of judgment for being a little out there as far as, hey, I'm going to heal people with sound. People are like, no, you're not. You can't do that. Or, you know, thinking about really deep spiritual concepts, it's ingrained within myself a resistance to communicating about that. But I love talking about this stuff. As you guys can tell, I'll go on and on and on about these things forever and ever. But I find that when I'm really sitting within who I am and expressing that, is when I find more people like who I am. I get to create a space for people who are feeling those same things and have those same vibrational emotions and mental landscapes catering to growth and catering to compassion. We create a space around us that will allow people who are more beneficial and maybe a little bit better influences within our own life. But you know, it starts with yourself. And remember, you know, you've got people around you, you know, it might not seem like it at times, but there are tons of people cheering you on. People from afar. I'm sure you've even got Instagram followers who you've never met, but they send you hearts and smile emojis whenever you do something awesome. You know, they may seem silent at times, but you've got a whole bunch behind you. You've got a whole team cheering you on and rooting you on. And you know, just remember that when you move into that authentic communication, that authentic state of being, you're just the boundless beauty that you are begins to shine forward. And the more we can even find the beauty in the less lovable and less desirable qualities of our psyche and our consciousness, the more we find the beauty in experiencing, you know, these depressive slumps. You know, if we can even for a moment take a step back and just think how marvelous and unbelievably amazing it is that we have the emotional complexity to feel depressed. It's shitty at the best of times, but it's still an unbelievably beautiful experience that we have such articulation of our emotions that it can get down there. And, you know, I mean, everything in life has its ebbs and its flows, and every depressive slump means you're going to have a great slump or a great boost coming down your way. Everything is balancing in itself. And the more we start to create these mantras surrounding our own lives and catering to that beauty, the more consistently we'll find it. We won't have to struggle as hard to find the beauty. It'll start appearing in everything we do, in every moment in our lives. And I just want to remind you guys that you're all beautiful. Every one of you. You got a beautiful voice. I urge you to explore it. Dig into it. See how it feels. You know, see if you can get a little bit of insight to ways in which you can kind of help grow yourself and move into the next chapter of your own personal evolution. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I think that's about it for today for the throat chakra. But please feel free to send me any comments you have, jacobpastorfield@gmail.com. Or even my sound healing practice is called Kumbaya. So you can send an email to kumbayama@gmail. So kumbayama@gmail.com. But for now, I hope you guys have an excellent evening, morning, weekend, month, whenever you're listening to this. I wish you nothing but great times and good vibes and wonderful company. You guys take care of yourselves. Talk to you soon.